and so on. Welcome to the first episode, at least on Anchor, of Okoye Media. On this podcast, as I said, we primarily talk about the Cowboys and the NFL by and large, but I'm also a licensed boxing trainer, so you will hear some of that content as well. But this week, folks, you already know, for those of you who actually care, the Cowboys are playing the Chicago Bears tomorrow. Now, you know, I have a YouTube channel. If you guys follow Okoye Media on YouTube or Facebook, you'll know that I do some of the better breakdowns on you know, football players, on various players, teams, schemes, whatever it is. We break it down, and our motto is to prove it with the film. So for those of you who don't follow me there on YouTube, you definitely want to do that. But beyond that, a lot of the comments there on YouTube will talk about the fact that we are, they'll say we're an average team, right? And I'm one that is a proponent for the statement that you are what your record says you are. So right now, I can't argue when someone calls us average. When someone says that the Cowboys just aren't playing up to snuff, well, I mean, what can I really say about that? Now, do we have to be average is the question. And the answer is no. Is Chicago, you know, a world-beating team? We all know they're not. They're an average team as well. The reason that a lot of us are so pissed off with the Cowboys and what they're doing, though, is they don't have to be mediocre. Right now, we have a team that goes out and can do it. We know they can do it, and we expect it of them every week. And at times, they just don't deliver. So I think it pisses me off. It pisses a lot of the Cowboy fan base off. And at this point, it's becoming a reoccurring theme that, you know, we kind of drop the ball when we're up against a tough team. Now, Chicago is an average team, but they are an average physical team that will bring it. So the fact that they bring a certain level of prowess and physicality to the field, plus they're playing at home in the cold, this is going to be a tough game for the Cowboys. So I don't want us going in thinking that, you know, because Chicago's record is what it is, I think they're like 6-6-2, I think. But because their record is what it is, that we're just going to go in there and impose our will. That's what we should be trying to do as far as firing off the ball instead of pass blocking. I did a breakdown recently talking about the fact and showing that our offensive linemen, I mean, they're just not firing off the ball this year. Kellen Moore, for all of his attributes, positive attributes. I do like the kid. I like him. But and no disrespect by calling him kid, but Kellen Moore, for all the things that we tout him about and all the things that we, you know, we laud over him over, right? He doesn't have a tenacious attitude. He's a very calm, even killed type of guy. When you look at him on the sideline, that's just the way he seems, right? So when I think of this team, whether it's Jason Garrett or Kellen Moore, I think that the reflection of this team is a reflection of the coaching staff. And we don't have nasty guys offensively. And I think when we lost Bill Callahan, I think we kind of got away from the idea that our offensive line is supposed to be attacking the defense, not being attacked. And I think people kind of forget that. When you look at our offensive line, even when we're run blocking this year, it looks like we're pass blocking. It's very passive. We don't get guys on the ground. We don't fire off the ball, and we're not trying to kill our opponents. And I mean kill in the nicest way possible. I mean, you know, nicest football term possible. But man, you want to take it to people, man. You got to get busy, man. And we're not a busy team when it comes to running the football. Just watch our games. You watch some of my breakdowns. If you go on YouTube, and this is not to plug the video, but for those of you who hadn't seen it, you really should. Go look at what happened to Zeke by Okoye, our reaction. Because Brian Baldinger, shout out to Baldy, but he did a breakdown, an okay breakdown on Zeke, but he ignored a lot of glaring weaknesses in our offensive line, as if Zeke was supposed to just run through 5 or 6 free runners. And that's not the case. In 2016, 2017, not 2018 so much, but 2016, 2017 especially, our offensive line was firing off the ball and getting bodies on the floor. If you guys want to see a example of what that looks like or how that goes, you know, just watch the 49ers versus the Baltimore Ravens, right? If you watch that game last week, For those of you who don't have NFL Game Pass, you can just go on to the highlights on YouTube even if you want. But just look at any run. It doesn't matter how many yards they gain. I don't care if a guy has no gain. There are hidden benefits in running the football effectively and aggressively, and that is pain. You inflict pain on a defense. For those of you who've ever played football, you might make a play, right? But if someone smacks you, right, and you get hit head to head, shoulder to shoulder, or your hand gets caught in a pile, or your leg, you get chop blocked on a play, you got hit in your shin, but you still jump up and make a play. Just because you made the play doesn't mean you didn't feel me. You see what I'm saying? So we don't make teams feel us or pay for their attempts against us. It's just come up, you know, pin your ears back, and we'll take your best shot. And we're tough enough to do that. Our blockers are blocking pretty good. They're like a B, you know, at pass blocking. They're doing pretty good. But we have an A-plus running game. I would say we have a B blocking, a pass blocking game. But we have an A-plus run blocking game with these guys. They're all maulers, but we have them playing chess instead of going out and just wreaking chaos and havoc upon the defenses. And these games are won in the trenches, especially a game like the game against Chicago. So that brings me to my point. The Chicago Bears. Mitchell Trubisky, you know, to his credit, you know, he has a cannon for an arm. He's semi-mobile. I would say he's a smart player. I don't think we've seen his best yet, but he has days and times where he does play pretty well. And he has a good playmaking cast around him. Tariq Cohen's, you know, he's a world beater. You have Montgomery, who's very, very tough to take down, and Dallas has already showed that we have trouble tackling. And we take bad angles and we create a lot of space because we keep getting caught in these stunts because we don't blitz. And I'll get into that in another video, but we don't blitz. So we get caught in these stunts where we create so much space as far as running lanes, by way of running lanes, that it creates too many opportunities for our opposition. And if you catch us in one of those stunts with a draw play or a read option or a zone read, you're gonna find some wiggle room. You are, and your blockers don't really have to do much other than, you know, kind of direct our linemen, Collins, our Woods, to where they're trying to go anyway. So with that said, we have to kind of get away from that in this game and have our line just really respect their gaps, because if we have good gap integrity, I think we can beat the Chicago Bears. And I'm talking about on both sides of the ball. Blow these guys off the ball and make sure defensively, you know, we are staying in our gaps. That's it. You know, I think that's the way you beat them. They're not a, you know, flashy team that's a big play team. They're a trudge up the field team. So they want to hurt you. They want to impose their will. They want to inflict pain upon you and let you just know they're there. And I mean, that says something, because I think we've been playing pretty soft this year. So a team that comes out and plays physical is definitely a formidable opponent. Can we win out? Is this the best time to go on a run? Oh, hell yeah. We can win out. We can go on a run right now. But it's going to require a physical, consistent effort for more than, you know, a quarter. And that's what we do. We decide which quarter we're going to play. Is it going to be the first quarter of this game? Or is it going to be the fourth or the third? But we're going to turn up. You know, Dak will turn up. We'll turn up. But which quarter would that be? And, you know, I for one, I'm tired of seeing us not only start slow, but start slow and then kind of coast our way to a comeback. And then, you know, we run out of time. And, you know, I've been saying, oh, we run out of clock. They didn't beat us. Or we missed a kick. They didn't beat us. Or if we had the turnover rate. I'm tired of having to say any of that shit, man. If at the end of the day, this team wants to be what they're touted as, which is a Super Bowl caliber team, then you got to realize when people are saying that in the media, especially when, you know, we get so much media coverage for a 6-6 team, you know, when teams and newscasters and anchors and commentators are all, you know, speaking so highly of a team like the Cowboys, who haven't won anything major in a very long time, since 1995, right? Since they're doing that, we're getting teams' best punch. Like, they're hitting us in the mouth like you would a Super Bowl team, because a lot of teams are saying, hey, man, what have they done? What have they done? Why are they seeing, why are they talked about the way they are? Like, the Browns had a hell of a roster, too, in the beginning of the season. You don't hear them talked about, though, right? So teams want to come and punch us in the mouth, just like you want to punch anyone else in the mouth who thinks that they're better than you, the competitor in you, the testosterone in you, you know, the nut hanging excuse my French, but the nut hanging in these men that are in these locker rooms, you know, won't allow them to just say, hey, let's bow down to the Cowboys because they're America's team. That's not the way it works, man. You got to come out, and you got to come out ready to fire. You got to come out ready to attack. And we haven't been aggressive all year. I haven't seen, except for Zeke. And shout out to Jeff Heath. Defensively, we're aggressive, but sometimes too aggressive. But too cute by way of front four. I love Rod Marinelli. I like his mentality. I like the way he trains defensive linemen to excel, you know, as far as pass rushing is concerned. Like Selvey when he was here. Mayoa when he was here. Those guys were like, you know, no-name guys, no disrespect to them, but they weren't, you know, mainstays in anyone's household, if you even remember them now, right? But when they were here, you couldn't tell. They played pretty well. So I like what he does with guys who you know, for all intents and purposes, probably wouldn't do much else anywhere else, right? But our run fits suck, you know, with our front four, and I think it's because of our scheme. Also, that's affecting our defense, our defensive secondary, you know, I think it's affecting it because we play so soft. We play soft coverage, and I think we play soft coverage because we're trying to sit back and wait for some errant passes. But we don't give our defensive line enough time to get there on those stunts because we're not pressing. So if we're pressing and playing physical, then those stunts have to get there. They have more time to get there. And in theory, you know, we should get more sacks as a result of that. But we also don't blitz. And you have two wild men at linebacker. Shout out to LV. I know he's hurting right now. I don't know how serious that that injury is. Hopefully it's not career-threatening or season-ending, but it may be. But I know when I watch LV's film, when he struggles is when he's in space as far as against the run, and he has to read and assess what's happening in front of him. Okay, now he can cover. But, I mean, when it comes to run, he has to read and assess quickly what's happening at that wheel linebacker position and then attack and flow to the play. He doesn't do that as well as he leads. So when he leads at the SAM and he's allowed to just tee off, he's an animal. I've seen him pancake, and you can watch a few of my breakdowns, but I've seen him pancake a few linemen, man, without a problem. So I used to think that LV had issues with his strength. He doesn't. There's nothing wrong with his strength. There's nothing wrong with him as a football player, period, except for the fact that he doesn't have the IQ at this point or the experience level, should I say. It's not the IQ because he's a smart guy. It's just the experience isn't there. He's not cerebral like Sean Lee. He hasn't watched enough film. He hasn't seen enough on the field to really assess what's happening in front of him. So he has to use his athleticism. And if you're late on some of these plays and you already are kind of a, you know, soft tackler, which he is, it's going to be tough to make those kinds of plays and get in there and do what he needs to do to kind of be that cleanup guy at the wheel. So I think him at the SAM is really what this team needs, is what we should have done a long time ago. I don't even understand why we even have him at the wheel, because when you watch LV, and for those of you who don't know, the SAM linebacker is the strong side linebacker, and the SAM linebacker is the one that sets the tone as far as setting the edge, and he gets in there and creates the action. LV, when he does that and he's asked to do that, even when he doesn't make a play, he creates a hell of a traffic jam because he's hard to block when he's coming downhill full steam ahead. He's very difficult to block. So I like that version of LV a lot more than I like the, you know, the deer in the headlights, run like a gazelle LV that's always in, you know, in 20 yards off the ball chasing wide receivers like we use Jalen as well. And that brings me to that point. Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith came back from a hell of an injury, man. You guys know this. I don't have to really tee him up. I'm really just giving, you know, this extra rundown for those of you who don't know the Okoye Media YouTube channel. You know, you can go out to Okoye Media on YouTube and you can watch whatever you want there. Make sure you subscribe too. But I'm just really explaining this for those of you who are finding me on this platform and don't really understand where this stuff comes from. So for those of you who've heard this and know that I know and know Jalen well because you've watched my breakdowns, you know, this ain't for you, but this is for those who haven't seen it. But Jalen Smith is a pass rushing savant. He can cover. He can cover well enough. I would never say he's a coverage linebacker who was going to get us a bunch of interceptions. No, he's not that guy. But he's definitely a wild man with good instincts, and he hits like a ton of bricks. I'm not sure how consistent he can be, because I think a lot of people are giving both him and LVE a lot of grief this year due to the fact that they kind of fell off. Van Jalen ain't what it was, right? But I think Jalen's being misused as along with LVE, because this team is definitely built to fly, you know. And when I say fly, I mean fly around the ball. I think we're a blitzing team. I don't really think we're a coverage team where we should be hanging back and waiting for things to develop. We should be setting the tone for the action, which creates turnovers. Because if you're blitzing, like the way Buffalo blitzes, they zone blitzes all day. Leslie Frazier, he called a hell of a play, a hell of a game all game. He called a lot of good blitzes. He teed it up on us. Excuse my stutter. But he definitely called a great game. I broke down that game as well. You can watch clips of that on Twitter. But you'll see they had a blitz front side where I think Poyer, number 21, blitz front side. I think it's the play where Dak threw the interception on the screen pass. He got blitz front side, and then on the back end, they had Hughes dropping coverage underneath the hot route. So there was no slant pattern there. He was there to watch that slant. I call that the heat seeker coverage, because you're trying to get in the lane of a hot read. So I call it heat seeker when you have a defensive lineman dropping coverage. But Hughes is playing that heat seeker coverage where he drops back and he's in that slant lane. So Dak has to hold the ball. And he looks front side, and he knows, you know, the blitz is coming front side. So he had a linebacker, and I think their safety blitz in front side. Even though they only rushed four front side, those two defenders on the back end, those two linemen on the back end, now dropped in coverage. One covered the running back. The other covered the hot read or the heat seeker lane, right? Forcing Dak to come back to the left late. And when he did, he threw kind of a lazy screen pass to Pollard, and it was intercepted. Now, that was created by the blitz front side and the pressure and the physicality of their corners pressing us on the line and taking away everything that was quick. So that was created by the scheme. He created an opportunity for his players to make a play. Our scheme does not afford that, because when you have four guys that are pinning their ears back and doing twists and stunts and all kinds of stuff to get to the quarterback, they're getting there. We're at the top of the league in pressures. So they're getting there, right? So what's the problem? Why aren't they getting sacks? Well, are they just bad tacklers, would you say? Wouldn't say that. I think they're all pretty good, right? Quinn, D-Law, Collins, Woods, they all can tackle pretty well. So what's the problem? When you're playing off, and the way we play off with Cheeto's always playing 15 yards off the ball. Byron presses only. So when a quarterback lines up pre-snap, he knows when you look over to the left, Byron will be down on the line usually, taking away anything short to the left. And besides that, that side of the field is the best side to press on, or pitch a press, more physical press corner on. Why? Because a quarterback has to lift up his left foot and look to the left. And once he goes left, he knows that it's tougher to go back right, right? So quarterbacks usually read a field right to left or mid to left. Never, you know, very rarely left to right, unless we're a shotgun where you can see everything from the beginning. That's the benefit of shotgun. That's why Peyton Manning did that, because he can, you know, he can see everything immediately. And he's in good position to throw any throw immediately. But with that said, the way we're designed, quarterbacks pretty much know going to the left early isn't the thing. Byron's pretty good at press coverage. You're not going to get those slants off. So let's not make that the game plan, right? What they do is they call hot reads underneath Cheeto, who's playing 15 yards off the ball. And there's no way Cheeto's making an interception from where he's lined up. You know, and shout out to Chris Richard. I like the guy's personality, but I don't understand what we're doing as a team. When we play well, like when we played against the Saints, I'm talking about defensively in our secondary, that's when we're manning up, or when we're actually playing physical on the line of scrimmage. All this bail and trail technique and all that, like, I mean, they have their spots. They have their place in football. But I think we are best served playing physical, up-in-your-face, smash-mouth football. That's just who we are. And letting Jordan Lewis, you know, cutting him loose. Jordan Lewis is really, you know, he's really playing out of position. He should be playing, in my opinion, when we're in the nickel, Cheeto should be moved to the slot. and Jordan Lewis should be out on the perimeter as that left corner. Why? At the end of the day, excuse my silence there, but at the end of the day, man, you got to think about it this way. When you watch Cheeto's film, Cheeto is a guy that, and the reason we play him 15 yards off the ball is he uses his eyes and his instincts. So he's more of a safety, okay? Cheeto, when he's down, and if he's down in the nickel, you don't know what he's doing. You don't know if he's playing man. You don't know if he's zoning up. You don't know if he's blitzing. He's definitely one of our better tacklers, so he's good and run fits. But you don't know what the hell Cheeto's doing when he's down on the line. So if Cheeto's playing in the slot, I think this team instantly gets better because you have Jordan Lewis, who doesn't mind playing. He's not going to play 15 yards off the ball. He's going to be down in your face, and he's definitely a pretty good cover corner. So having Jordan Lewis on the outside, for those of you who say he's too small or whatever you want to say about him, I'm like, look, man, 5'10 is not that damn small. We had Terrence Newman for a very long time, was only 5'11. So you're telling me that inch makes Jordan Lewis unusable at this point? Doesn't make any sense to me. How about you? So, you know, for me, I think this defense needs to be shuffled around a little bit, and we need to find our identity or find our kahunas, because we need to get down on the line and start being more physical with these offenses. There's just no way we're going to build a successful unit or a Super Bowl team when we're playing soft or playing afraid. And that brings me to my last point. There's a difference between hating losing and being afraid to lose, you know. Hating to lose and being afraid to lose are two different things, and here's why. A team who is playing for not only their contracts and their jobs, but their check, right? They're afraid to lose. So we play like that. We play like we're afraid to lose. You understand what I mean? Jerry hasn't paid Dak. He hasn't paid Cooper. He hasn't paid Jason Garrett, which I'm not really that mad about, but he hasn't given him an extension. And he kind of like tries to have the best of every world. Like he comes in and he doesn't want to fire Rod Marinelli, but he brings in Chris Richard to really do Rod Marinelli's job. But you don't let him do it all the way because you keep him there with Rod Marinelli. Those things alone just really, they don't sit that well with me, man. So you have a team full of people who not only might undermine each other, I'm not sure, but when you have a quarterback who's trying to get paid, he's going to try to put his stats up. So I think at times, Kellen Moore and Dak are trying too hard, you know, at times. And it's not Dak's fault. Dak's trying to get his money. I understand him trying to get his money. See what I'm saying? So I think Jerry paying them would eliminate that. And then you would start to see a team full of people who hate losing. A team who hates losing but isn't afraid to lose puts it on the line. They take more risks because they're not trying to win because they are afraid of what happens if they lose. They're trying to win because they can't stand losing. You know, it's a pride issue. That's a different mentality than being afraid to lose. And right now, all these guys look like they're afraid to lose. And it shows, you know, in games, we have certain spurts or certain stints in games where, you know, we can turn it on down the stretch. And Dak definitely has done that on numerous occasions. But some of the play call in the stretch, it just doesn't make any sense. If you look at the Vikings game, you see us try to spread them out and throw once we get in the red zone. Or we always run a reverse. I did a breakdown recently. Shout out to Law Nation. But I did a breakdown with Law Nation on YouTube as well where we uncovered the fact that Kellen Moore calls a reverse or a reverse action motion or reverse motion every time he gets to the 30 or within the 30, maybe the 40, right? So it doesn't make any sense to me. It's very predictable, very vanilla, and it's soft football. We need to pin our ears back once we get inside the 20. We're a great football team from the 20 to the 20. That's why we have, you know, we're number one in yards and number two in total yards because we can get up and down the field, no problem. It's just when we get in the red zone, we don't have a clue as to what to do there. And we need to turn things up and kind of switch it over a little bit. But Chicago, I think, is a beatable team. I think if we come with the right mindset, I saw what Detroit was able to do to them, but also look at what Detroit was able to do to us with a backup quarterback too. So, and no name running backs, like, you know, I don't understand it, but they play tough, you know, and that's a testament to their coach. Chicago with Nagy, they play tough too. You know, they're going to play us tough. So we're going to have to bring our hard hat to win this game. We did take a step in the right direction by starting to train and practice outside. So hopefully that that's a step in the right direction fully, where we're committed to putting ourselves in the best position to win these games by preaching and showing and creating situational practices during practice, you know, by simulating the weather or simulating a wet football, simulating certain conditions that you're only going to experience on Sunday. You can't be practicing inside a facility that's temperature controlled when you're trying to go out and play in the frozen tundra or in Lambeau Field or any of that. You know, you can't do it. So at the end of the day, hopefully the Cowboys have woken up. They sound a little pissed off, and that's good, because we need to play a little bit more pissed. We need to play angry. And these offensive linemen, if you guys want to see what I'm watching this week, you know, you can definitely watch the game tomorrow with me. But if you want to see what I'm looking for, I'll be streaming live on YouTube, Okoye Media on YouTube, right? But I'll be looking at the offensive line. I want to see the offensive line firing off the ball and hitting people. If we fire off the ball and we're hitting people, even when we have no gains and runs that don't really get us anywhere, I think we're a lot better off than we are right now, waiting to be punched in the mouth. But I appreciate you guys tuning in for the first episode. There'll be plenty of more to come. I have plenty of breakdown content if you guys want me to break down particular videos. For those of you who don't know what I do, I'm definitely one of the guys you want to come to for that. I'm not toot my own horn, but I am, you know what I mean? But patreon.com/AKOYE is where you can go and submit a request for a particular breakdown topic. As long as it's no shade and it's not a topic that I've already done, then hey, I'll do it. You know, I'll do it. So for those of you who would like me to break down certain content or certain videos, make sure you head out to patreon.com/Okoye. If you haven't followed me on YouTube, make sure you do that now. Also Twitter. It's all Okoye Media. Very simple, very easy. That's AKOYE Media. And remember, Okoye stands for accumulated knowledge over years of experience. And it's not just me. I know that's the name I go by, but like I said in the description, Okoye is all of us, because we're all walking, talking, and accumulations of the knowledge and experiences that we've come across over our years on this planet. So, you know, hopefully you guys come here to share your experiences with me, and I'll definitely be sharing mine with you. But stay tuned, because there's definitely more to come. And as I said, I love doing what I do, so I wouldn't be up at 1:30 in the morning doing it if I didn't. So, you know, hopefully hear from you guys soon. Talk to you. Peace. Let's beat the shit out of the Bears, man. Because we need it.